It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, hi, Mark.
We're back with more of the Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
He is Mark Grody, and he joins us right now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo Tire, your hometown tire. Go to Aturo.com. Groats, hello, my name is Score Afternoons, and I am your host along with Anthony Herron. How are you, Mark? How was Bears practice today?
Oh, it was, I would say, Bears practice. If you're looking at it from a Caleb Williams perspective, the day ran hot and cold today. I would say the good part is, just as a headline, Caleb Williams did have three touchdown passes to Keenan Allen. Allen targeted all day. He missed him a bunch, too. There was some overthrows on the sideline to Keenan Allen, but I think going into this practice, for whatever reason, they decided that there needs to be some work between Caleb Williams and Keenan Allen, so that's what I saw. Did see a really pretty touchdown. Let me give you two back-to-back plays, the good and the bad. There was a play in red, starting at about the 20-yard line or so, what would be the defense's 20-yard line. Caleb rolls right, planned play, finds Keenan Allen in the middle of the end zone. Beautiful play. We know how deadly already Caleb is when you get him on the run. The very next play, though, Caleb Williams kind of floats one. It almost like it got away from him. He floats it into the end zone. That one gets picked off by Kyler Gordon. And right after that, he was talking up a storm with Matt Eberflus trying to figure out exactly what happened. So it was a good day, bad day today for Caleb Williams in the offense, and a good overall day for the defense.
Are we getting a sense yet for Thursday night whether or not we're going to get a chance to see Caleb out there yet again?
Don't know. You know, we had Shane Waldron on today. We did not get to talk to Matt Eberflus. He ultimately would be the one that would get to deliver that information to us. I asked Shane Waldron about it today. He wouldn't budge on it, said we'll wait and, you know, find out from Matt Eberflus. I think signs are pointing towards no, only because of one thing, and that is because the Bears are practicing on Wednesday. Initially, they were going to have that day off, so that logically, it sounds like that they want to get that practice day in because they wouldn't play starters on Thursday. However, you know, look, the Bears have made a big deal about how they're doing things differently now in the name of their quarterback. The Bears had an awful start to last year at 0-4, and I think a lot of it was because they did not have a healthy roster a lot of the time. They took it easy in training camp. They took it easy in the preseason games. So I guess all of this for me to say, I wouldn't be shocked if the starters were to get maybe a series or two out there. And I don't think that they've reached the number of snaps that they initially had wanted to get to. So logic says no, but I just can't be surprised if they did put the starters out. And quite frankly, guys, I'd like to see, I would prefer to see the starters at least one more time just because of the space in between that last preseason game and the beginning of the regular season.
Yeah, I'm there as well. And Anthony convinced me as he talked about it a little bit earlier on in the show. Yeah, you know, a lot of people tweeting at us and others saying like, oh, Caleb looked bad today. Kyler Gordon with two interceptions, including the 100-yard pick six. You know, so do you think he would think he looked bad? Did Shane Waldron think he looked bad?
Well, I don't know if bad is the word. I mean, it feels like a lot of what we've seen from Caleb Williams, and now you guys have gotten to see them in the games. Look, the game on Saturday against Buffalo was not a good start for Caleb Williams early going, and duh, he was three and out three straight times. And then we saw the spectacular from him, the 45-yard bomb to Rome Odunze. that's the way these practices have been going. That's why I'm so glad people have gotten to see them, because, yeah, he's making some bad plays. I told you, that pass that he floated was as dangerous as it gets. He overthrew Keenan Allen several times, but he had that sweet touchdown pass to him as well, and two others. As far as Shane Waldron is concerned, one of the things that he's talking about is that Caleb is learning now that the windows in the NFL close a little bit early, so it's the good and the bad from Caleb. Here's Waldron on that.
I think, you know, part of that, you know, is just seeing concepts for the first time sometimes in those live game actions. But, you know, he had the great, you know, the ball out to Cole, the ball out to Simba, you know, some of those where he's showing that he plays in rhythm, he can play in rhythm, find those throws. And then, you know, what's pretty cool to watch is when the play breaks down, you know, it almost seems like it's in slow motion for him, and he can find the different rush lanes, being smart with the ball, you know, breaking contain and creating some explosives down the field. So, you know, for us with him, you know, it's about finding the balance of those two things, and I think he's doing a good job of progressing with that. And like you mentioned, you know, feeling out what are those windows, what are the windows that are too tight to fit it in, or what are the windows that are legit completions before getting into potential scramble modes.
No, part of the concern, Groats, as far as when Caleb got drafted and everyone looking at his college tape and seeing his style of play, was what the balance would be that the Bears would strike between trying to get him to be a refined quarterback while also just allowing some of the playmaking ability. We heard a clip there from Shane Waldron, of course, that you played there. But what's your sense for how the Bears are trying to thread that needle between allowing Caleb to be a playmaker while also, you know, just sort of teaching him life in the NFL?
From the plays that Shane Waldron has called, and obviously he's not going to unveil everything, but you can start to see what he is doing with Caleb Williams in terms of, you know, getting him out of the pocket a ton, and the bootlegs and the play action and all of that, that it, to me, it already looked, and it's such a good question because it's something that I wondered early on, and that is, how soon is Caleb Williams going to get to be Caleb Williams, as in making the plays like he did to Rome Odunze in the game? The play that I talked about in practice today, which I know people didn't see, but he rolls right and goes against his body, floats it into the end zone, finds Keenan Allen in traffic. So I already think it's happening. Like, I feel like, yeah, those first few OTAs, maybe the first week of training camp, they were keeping him as structured as possible, but we're seeing more and more autonomy, I guess you could say. Maybe that's not the right word because there is a plan in place, but Caleb Williams has been allowed to be Caleb Williams in a lot of parts, and even some of the stuff that might look off script to us isn't always necessarily off script. It's what Shane Waldron is pushing him to do. So we're already starting to see here, with a couple of weeks to go in camp, that they are letting Caleb unleash a little bit, which really portends well for the regular season.
Wow. I mean, that to me is the essential question about the coaching relationship and about what Caleb is going to do. And I've been the guy, Groats, who wants him to play within structure and hit his little slants and do that stuff because the defense is so good and because this is a team that is in a winning window right now. So I fear him putting the ball into harm's way, but he might have that special ability to not put the ball into harm's way. It's fascinating and something to continue to watch and dissect on the daily basis. Speaks and Anthony Aaron on the Scores Afternoon Show here on 670 The Score with Mark Grody. Shane Waldron talking about Caleb Williams and how he sees the field. That's interesting because sometimes we think we're watching a guy look through his progressions, but we can't really know for sure until they watch the film and talk to us about it, honestly, if they do.
Yeah, you always hear about it, Speaks, with quarterbacks. How is their vision? How do they see the field? This is how Shane Waldron answered that question.
Just his spatial awareness and, you know, his ability to see the full picture, knows where everyone is, and that's where I see it with him, you know, as he continues to develop, you know, really just getting a handle on the reps and the accumulated reps of certain concepts. But as far as seeing the picture and then being able to get to different windows or different rush lanes that he finds, you know, he's got that natural ability.
It just doesn't seem like Caleb has put the ball in harm's way, put the ball on the ground. That was honestly one of the concerns I had in my evaluation from college, was not necessarily the interceptions thrown, but when he holds the football, the ability to potentially fumble it away against better defenders. What have been your observations of that? You were talking about it in practice, but as you've looked at Caleb, and certainly as you've had a chance to talk to the coaches, him protecting the football is so huge for a rookie QB. How's that part played out?
Yeah, you know, it's played out pretty well. Yes, he's had the interceptions, no doubt about it, but what we haven't seen is a lot of balls batted out of his hands from the blind side. I always feel like that's a really tough thing for young quarterbacks to feel that pressure. Early on, that was a thing for Caleb Williams in this camp, and an OTA's feeling that blitz, but it's something that he has been really conscious of. I think that the thing he talks to coaches more about than anything when we see him huddling up with these guys, because sometimes you're in earshot, is the pressure, the blitz packages. Who is coming? Who do I not see? Who do I have to trust to pick up the blitz? So I think that that's been, you know, really important for him. I will say this, you know, the interceptions today, the two by Kyler Gordon, for whatever it's worth, and I'm not saying this has been the case every single time, when Caleb Williams throws a bad pass, it's typically an overthrown pass, which obviously is better than the underthrown because that leads to more interceptions. So I guess that's a good thing. I think, guys, when this stuff starts for real, you are going to see Caleb Williams throw some interceptions. No doubt. I think especially early on, you're going to see sort of the way he looked today in practice, sort of the way he looked in the Buffalo preseason game, where there's going to be some moments where you're like, whoa, you know, the defense could not get off the field or the offense could not get off the field faster in those first few drives. But then all of a sudden he'll unload one. And he'll be like, oh, yeah. And it's just a matter of time as to when that will kick in. And hopefully he'll be really good or maybe even great. Great. Who knows?
Mark, we've done a ton of Caleb Williams content on this show today, in part as an homage to the guy who left. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, let's move on to some of the other stuff. Kyler Gordon with a terrific game on Saturday, and you got a chance to talk to him today.
That was a very different show, though, when that guy was
Thank
here.
You.
You two. This show is very different.
Very, extremely different. We even spelled different right on this show.
That's something Kyler Gordon, I don't know, he looked like the MVP on defense to me in the game on Saturday, and then he just follows that up today with a couple of interceptions. One thing that I've noticed in general with the Bears defense in training camp is they are dialing up a lot more blitzes from, you know, the secondary and from the linebacker. We saw Tremaine Edmonds do it in the previous preseason game, and he had the deflected ball. I've seen TJ Edwards blitzing like a madman in camp. So talk to Kyler Gordon about all of that and the fact that they're dialing him up.
I mean, definitely. Everyone loved the blitz, get aggressive, sack the quarterback, sack fumble, tackle for losses. Yeah, everyone loves that.
Has there been more of that, pressure being dialed up?
I mean, yeah. You could say that for sure. I mean, we practice a bunch of different things. We get a bunch of reps at it. So, yeah, you could say that.
Is it an extension, Groats, of Matt Eberflus's aggression once he became the DC or at least the play caller last year?
I think so, but it didn't feel like the rate at which they are blitzing or being creative with this defense, I don't think was in as high existence during the regular season, even when the defense started to get good. But I think part of this is because of what we've been talking about since OTAs, and that is who's going to bring the pressure from the side opposite of Montez Sweat. One of the ways to do that is to be a little more creative and blitz a little bit more, even though you don't do a ton of that in the 43 defense. But to me, it felt like that, and I guess Kyler Gordon kind of confirmed it. We'll see what happens when the regular season starts, but to be doing it this late into the preseason and having done it early on, it makes me think we're going to see a more aggressive version of Matt Eberflus's defense this year.
And part of it just comes down to who's good at it, too. You know, like Kyler Gordon is a really good blitzer. TJ Edwards is a really good blitzer. Tremaine Edmonds is not. Some of the other DBs are not. So Kyler Gordon being out there and just being really good at it, then we can be more enthusiastic about the potential for Kyler Gordon blitzing from the slot.
Yes. Yes, really? Yes, really, Mark.
Yeah, is that what's going on today?
Hey,
is
man.
Is that what the new afternoon show is offering? Influsiastic?
That's been mine for a year now.
I'm not willing. I actually just told Speaks a little while ago, it might have been a break, that I'm not willing to say Guwagi on the air, but influsiastic, I enjoy that enough, and it's not something that's going to come up during a college football broadcast.
Yeah, Mark, thanks for listening. You know,
that other guy scared me away. I'm sorry. I'm listening now.
I understand.
Sorry.
I understand. Well, this is how we're going going to beat Wojo. No.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
But, you know, it's what makes somebody a bad blitzer? Just
a bunch of things. One, their timing can be awful, which some guys just don't time up the snap and anticipate it very well.
Kyler's timing on that blitz was exquisite.
Yeah, and it usually is. He's very consistent with that. But then also, when you get there, can you actually rush the quarterback? You know, like, not everyone is a great pass rusher. Not everyone has the proper angle when they're trying to blitz and get into the backfield. When you see a blocker and engage them, do you just chest up on the guy and your rush dies? Or can you actually make a move and evade them or have actual moves with your hands and the violence to be able to get there? Some guys are better at it than others.
Ask a question, get an answer, Groats. I loved Kyler's attacking tackle and hitting him high, hitting the QB high in
the
chest.
If there was one extra coaching point, I would get him on that. I would love to see him just knock the football away. You got a blind shot on the QB. This defense is really centered on takeaways. That was a great takeaway opportunity that Kyler, yes, the sack was great. It's a cool-looking highlight. He could have taken that ball away, and he didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating how good this defense looks like it might be able to be. So Tremaine Edmonds, not a good blitzer. What's he good at, Groats?
Well, he's a good tackler, just like a lot of these guys out here. And in particular, again, Kyler Gordon had a couple of open field tackles. Josh Blackwell putting the heat on that allowed Amen Ogbog Bamiga to come up with the interception. So Thank you. Somebody has to do justice for this man. That's right. That's the last time I'm going to say it, though. Tremaine. No, I'm kidding. He looked great in that game. Tremaine Edmonds, though. On all of that good tackling to which I just referred.
I think that's just, you know, the focus that we put on it. You know, we do a lot of tackling drills at practice. It's unique to see it, you know, show up in the game now. Obviously, we know the work we put in, but just so that everybody else see it, you know, put a smile on my face, man, because I know how much we practice it, you know what I mean? And just seeing those guys make those plays, it goes down the line, man. We had a lot of guys stood out to me, but, you know, that's something that we practice day in, day out.
I really enjoy how this defense pushes the offense and vice versa. Like, it's a really satisfying thing. Groats, did you hear this from Caleb after the game? I mean, of course you did. But this thing from Caleb about how what he learned from playing in the games, this is Caleb from post-game. We'll get there, but
I was there. I was there.
So I didn't have to play it for you.
Let's hear it. No, what's the gist?
No. He said that what he learned from playing the games was that the Bears defense is really good. It's so cool to hear that. So cool. Yeah. And it makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? They're pushing each other.
I got to tell you, man, like the early on in camp when we were doing the iron sharpens iron and this is good for Caleb going to, I was like, I don't want to hear all this. We just did this with Justin Fields. Oh, and we did that with Mitch Trubisky as well. So I kind of wrote that stuff off as us just kind of being lazy out here and going with the easy story. But watching Caleb Williams go up against other defenses, it really does look like the Bears defense has gotten Caleb in shape when you see him in these games. And I'm willing to say the way the defense has played in training camp and in these games, you saw the turnovers. I mean, Terrell Smith had another one as well, coming up with the interception. I'm willing to say that maybe the Bears defense is a notch better this year. I haven't bought into the Bears are a top five elite defense, but I got to tell you, man, there is something very hungry and very skilled about the way this Bears defense has played so far in this preseason.
Well, it depends on how much, on how much they can get out of that other defensive end spot and a couple other things. All right, what else you got, Groats?
I got one more from Gerald Everett, the Bears tight end in his first year here with the Bears, and I thought that he had some really strong stuff to say about Caleb Williams, and specifically he picks it up after, you know, we talked about the three straight three and outs that Caleb had.
being a rookie quarterback, I can't imagine the pressure that's on him. But going through an NFL install from training camp to now, I mean, leading up to week one, just seeing him handle it, just roll with the punches is a sight to see. But watching him perform on Saturday, not Sunday, was also a sight to see. And rolling out, pocket presence, vision down the field, and hitting Roman stride. I mean, I can't say enough about Caleb. And I'm sure he'll be even more exciting in the future.
Gerald Everett is a dude, as you described him earlier, didn't you, Ann?
Yeah, I love his frame, his ability to catch the ball away from that frame. He's not going to be Cole Kmet. He's not going to be an exceptional run blocker at the point of attack, but he is yet another weapon. He's part of the reason. I was telling, I don't know how many wagers you tend to place during the season, girls, but I was telling Spiegs, when it comes to Roma Dunze, Gerald Everett is a part of the reason. I don't know that Adunze's yards are going to be that high, but maybe for a prop, the touchdowns. I could see Rome getting in the end zone a bunch, but I don't know if he's going to get enough targets for a bunch of yards.
Too many weapons for this Bears offense.
God, I mean, isolate that. I mean, I hope that that is the case here. And Gerald Everett, too, and what you were just saying, Big Ant, he kind of mentioned that like today, that he's not Cole Kmet, you know, that he's a different style than Cole Kmet, which is absolutely perfect. Now, I did ask Shane Waldron about, you guys probably noticed there was a really bad connection with Gerald Everett on a couple of occasions in that game on Saturday, and basically Shane Waldron just said it was a little bit of a miscommunication and pretty much put the blame on Caleb Williams, not in a nasty way, but just communication that has to continue to go on between Caleb and Gerald Everett, and we've seen it with Roma Dunze on a couple of occasions too, and that's the beautiful part, that it just feels like some of the issues that exist, and of course there's going to be issues, are more of, they can be fixed very easily. They're not physical, it's more mental.
And in game, from one play to the next, one of the miscommunications with Gerald Everett took place on a play where Caleb was starting to climb the pocket, he extended the play, and then he just got a little bit too quick with his mechanics, and he just kind of fired the ball into the dirt out towards Gerald Everett, where he had another moment to set his feet and deliver it accurately. Then the very next play
was the one to
Rome and Dunze, where he reverse pivots, rolls out laterally, and as he extends the play, he realizes, I've got time. You could almost see him take a breath for a moment and then just float this teardrop as he's running left toward the sideline. And from one snap to the next, the way he processed it improved from that one play in a very similar scenario. So I loved seeing him making that improvement within the game from one play to the next.
I think he might have tripped a little bit.
As opposed to gathering himself and coming back to balance, he just said, oh, let me hurry up and get it out there. There was a defender converging, and so you can understand it, but he processed the very next snap very differently.
Yeah, I would say go back and maybe you guys could find it, not this second, but I did ask him about that, and he described it pretty closely the way Big Ant just described it in terms of what went wrong on that particular play. But some things got to be tightened up still.
I don't know what kind of sauce you've brought, but do you have delicious Bears nuggets?
Sauce! I do. What's your favorite nugget sauce, Speed?
Sweet and sour.
You go the sweet and sour.
God,
okay.
I tell you what, downstairs at Amazon Go, where I don't get sushi anymore, I might get some of the boneless chicken wings, or just, you know, popcorn chicken or whatever the hell they call it, and they have all the sauces right there.
Oh.
Grab whichever one you want.
Well, you got against honey mustard.
I'm with you, Ant. I'm a honey mustard.
Thank you, Groats.
Yep. Thanks for asking.
Not everything.
Groats and I became a team a long time ago. That wasn't just today.
Oh, yeah. No, you guys have a thing. Yeah, you don't have to pretend to like him.
Well, I don't know what's been going on with you two. I have to go back and listen.
It's
here.
Been rough.
I tell you
it's
what.
It's been kind of rough.
I do have some other stuff, though. Tyler Scott caught a couple of touchdown passes from Tyson Bagent. There's two guys who have had really good camps, Tyson Bagent and Tyler Scott. Jaquan Brisker was out here kind of working a little bit, but mostly off to the side riding the bike. So I'd call that a no practice for Brisker today. And one funny thing I noticed.
Nobody's mad at Jaquan Brisker for not practicing.
No.
Well, it's just Nate Davis. It's all reserved for Nate Davis.
I know that you love to protect Nate Davis, Anthony. I listen to you, man. I hear you ripping on us. No,
nobody's angry at all. Jaquan Brisker.
Well, guess what? Nate Davis practiced today. Davis was back in there, and a funny thing that happened, this is just like what I was interpreting, but at one point in the practice, Nate Davis and Montez Sweat got into a little bit of a shoving contest that felt like it could escalate, but then it didn't. It was like this like couple of old veterans out there, and they're like, you know what? Let's call this off. I described it as the most uninspiring training camp fight that I've, because it could have, it looked like it was going to escalate. escalate. And then the body language said, oh, I don't want to do this. Do you want to do this? Yeah. I don't want to do this. I'm not interested. That's what I saw. It was
mutual
hilarious.
Admiration society. Like, we're too old for this.
Totally.
Let's Danny Glover this thing. We're fine.
We're too old for this. Exactly. Spot on. Great analogy. That's it. That's all I got.
Groats, you're the best, buddy. And I know you'll be coming up at 6 o'clock. Have a good show.
Oh, my God. I got another show to get ready for. I got to go, guys. Bye.
Mark Grody's next installment of Training Camp Live is tonight at 6 right here on The Score. Bears Training Camp coverage presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. There are some roster questions. How many of them are actually legit? Let's discuss that with Anthony Herron next here on The Score's Afternoon Show on 670 The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.